Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello. Thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. How's everyone?
It's doing great, I think.
It's doing great.
It's great. I don't know. I'm fine. Yeah.
Good.
It's February. It's end of month. It feels like it's been a quick 2 months of the year. I don't know.
It has been.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, really, it's we think about we're a sixth of the way through.
Oh, wow.
A sixth of the way through. That's very, it is. That's the math, right? Two out of 12?
That's the math, man.
I've been doing a lot of fraction homework with my third and fourth graders.
Okay,
so.
Okay. We're rolling.
Yeah. 2025 is in full gear. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's in the future anymore. So
right, certainly. Well,
it's not in the future anymore.
It is the now. You know how sometimes it takes you a little bit to catch up. It just feels that way.
Yeah.
And we're coming on the heels of Vision Night. So
absolutely. Yeah. So Vision Night was a couple days ago, and we had a lot of information that we went over. So we're just going to kind of hit some of the highlights today. Talk about those really important things. And so when we started Vision Night, we started it with what we always do, the Saints at Home, which is kind of a special recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, special recognition of those who are part of our church family who moved to heaven.
Have gone to be with the Lord.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Have changed their residence. Are in their permanent home.
That's right. All the ways they crossed over the river.
Ooh, they crossed over that final Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. It's a beautiful way to start Vision Night. I think, as we talk about the future, we recognize that we're standing on the shoulders of people, generations now in this church specifically, that have gone before us.
Yeah.
And it's not meant to be a heavy, sobering thing, but it is in some ways.
There's a few that hit.
Yeah, there's a few that hit, especially those that you've been close to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
you kind of forget, too, like, not that that person passed, but like...
The timing of it.
Yeah. And so, like, when, you know, Jerry Colquitt, I saw that, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my gosh, that was only a year ago. But it feels like a long time ago, you know, just because he was such a... His absence is so felt.
Yes.
It feels like he's been absent for a long time, but that was last year, you know. So.
Yeah. And others too.
But yeah.
Well, we went over last year, so basically the structure of this, if you weren't there, the goals from 2024 are shared, and then we kind of just say, okay, so what happened in the year, and this is where we're at. So what were some of the main, like the church-wide, the bigger goals that we were trying to reach?
Well, I mean, I have to start with hitting 40 baptisms, you know, for a church our size, not necessarily a high number of baptisms comparatively, but I mean, we are not a church that really does any thing besides just hope that people through relationships lead people to Christ, through hearing the gospel and ministries receive Christ. Mm-hmm. And so to see that number continue to go up. And now to hit 40, I think, was a big milestone.
Yeah.
And so we praise Jesus for that.
It's almost one a week.
Yeah.
And a lot of those, you know, just awesome to see. You know, we're just seeing the faces and the video. But, I mean, there's story after story after story. And we have kids and teenagers and adults. And so, I would say that's probably what stands out to me the most, even though there's a lot of great things to celebrate about last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, to get philosophical, you could be like, why do we even set goals for these things? Shouldn't we just trust the Lord? And it's because they keep us focused. We want to say, we're a church and we want people to know Jesus. So we should say, hey, based off of who we are, the resources, the people, et cetera, this is where we think is a by faith and also realistic goal for us. So it kind of keeps us driven.
Yeah, they don't end the conversation.
Yeah, yes, numbers don't start.
Nice.
Don't end the conversation, but they start the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, yeah.
That comes
every other industry has goals. I don't know why. I mean, because it helps keep you focused.
Yeah,
it helps.
I think because of the nature of it being a church and we want everything to feel spiritual, there's that feeling of like, oh, that doesn't feel spiritual to have a goal. But it actually is great because it keeps us focused and it's not... Like we look at ourselves and say we were a failure because we didn't meet every
goal.
There were goals, we did not
meet. Our total giving number to kind of be aggressive about our future, we did not quite hit, even though obviously there's a lot of reason.
Like, to celebrate
we would
giving.
No way in way chastise our church. Like,
no.
Right.
The giving is great, but, you know, if we want to get where we want to be, As quick as we want to be there, we have got to see more increased giving. And we may or may not, but we're going to keep setting that goal kind of high.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked about baptisms. You mentioned giving. You know, a couple other 2024 goals were really to begin to implement a plan for the next phase of our development for campus development. We talked about that at Vision Night, and next week we'll talk about that more specifically. You know, prayer emphases, you know, growth and realignment of our staff structure. That's a big deal. And we're still like just now, you know, next week we'll finally be fully staffed from the plan that began in 2023. Yes.
Wow.
So that's how long it takes these things to be in motion, mainly because you're trying to get the right people in the position, not just fill positions. But also the fruit of that is even, I think, it's starting to come, but we'll see a lot more fruit in the next year from that.
Super thankful for the team that God has put in place in our church right now.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, 65 people going on a short-term mission trip of some sort was great. That exceeded our goal of 60. And then, I mean, it's just hard to fathom this. In 2024, $865,186.10 was spent, like given or spent on missions and outreach efforts in our community and the nations.
And that's not just, that's not ministries. Like that's just specifically
That's not worship ministry, discipleship ministry, student ministry. Yeah. That's missions and outreach.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really cool. 28.88%.
Well, that includes mission. That includes ministry.
Oh, never mind. Just kidding. Well,
it's still a lot of money.
Well, it's on our little note sheet. It's right beside.
Well, that's missions and ministry.
Okay, there. I see.
Yeah, you better have gotten.
I'll have that right by Sunday.
By Sunday it was
actually
past
week. You're sharing that. Anyway. So.
Oh, oops.
So you shared that. Excuse me.
I sure did.
That is significant. And I think, you know, even in our tracking of the people going on trips, I think that's important because we want to see people. I mean, one, there's a lot of fruit that comes in individuals in terms of shaping of worldview and kingdom mindset. But also we want these trips to support work and not just be things that we do. And so our trips to New York City, our mission trip to Uganda, and then disaster relief trips. And I will say too, when people participated in our disaster relief trips, most of the people participated in several of those trips that were a week long, and we only counted them one time because we're not trying to pad our numbers. So, you know, if we counted all the people who went on all the disaster relief trips, it'd probably be, you know, if each time it'd probably be in the 80s. So, just we're trying to be honest.
Yeah, I think I would probably summarize 2024 as really a restabilizing of our structure in many ways, not just staff structure, but just kind of. Like 2023, we all kind of felt like we have got to catch our breath after 2023. And 2024, it feels like, okay, there's still a lot.
Yeah.
But we're finally like catching our breath as a staff, as leadership. And yet at the same time, seeing a lot of things headed in the right trajectory. I mean, the reason that we haven't established new missionary partnerships like we'd want to and developed a long-term church evangelism strategy like we want to yet is because of kind of some of those other things restabilizing.
Right.
But, you know, overall, we just see our church continue to grow, to be built to last. There's a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. And then he came out with a book a few years later that was like, okay, but good to great isn't really good enough.
Can't stay great if you're not constantly working.
Yeah. So I do think this church is built to last. Mm-hmm. And I mean, by God's grace and the people he's put in place. And so I think year 2024 is really a solidifying of that for us to be able to say, here's where we're going to continue to solidify that. With our eyes set on our future goals.
Right, yeah. So. Just making sure the frameworks are there to be able to propel it farther. So for 2025, we have several goals.
Yeah.
What are some of our goals moving forward?
Well, the first one, since we started with this with celebration, the next goal, or the first goal would be 42 baptisms. Yeah. That's an increase in baptisms from this year. And really, when we set out these goals, we made a 10-year plan back in 2019, and that was by the end 10 years to have 250 baptisms. And so if you kind of correlate the numbers of growth with our church growth and that goal, that's where we should target.
Yep.
That's 42 baptisms this coming year. So that keeps us, you know, not that we, you know, I think the flip side of this is you could say, well, you could eventually be driven by that number rather than like actually just wanting people to be baptized. And that's true. You could be, but it keeps us focused. And are we providing, are we talking clearly about this. Are we giving gospel opportunities and response times?
Yeah. Are people sharing the gospel?
Are people sharing the gospel? Mm-hmm. Is it clear the next step? All those things. And are we celebrating it
That's right. So, and along that line, I mean, developing a long-term church evangelism strategy. So it's like, what we mean by that is, what does it look like for our church to ensure that all those things he just mentioned are happening? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the systems in place as we continue to grow to make sure people are being trained in evangelism, people are being given opportunities to share their faith? What are we doing corporately that's really working? How are we evaluating? I mean, so I don't even know what that fully looks like. Yeah. And I just know that our team, our CONE team, community outreach evangelism team, hasn't really been able to give the attention to that like they should. Somewhat due to transition, but we're hoping that we would continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. And a plug for the Wilson's Equipping Group. They're doing one about gospel conversations. Yes, how to share your faith.
Yes, exactly. That's part of the strategy. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's equip people in this. Give the opportunity. In response to that, we do have a one-on-one discipleship pathway that is launching already, but it will kind of really be fully rolled out this coming year, where when we have new believers, we have people who have not just said, hey, I will, but have been equipped with materials and how they will walk alongside that person one-on-one for a year to help them grow in their faith and learn how to study the Bible, cover spiritual disciplines, and really just how do you walk in this new relationship with the Lord. We could say all day we want to have people baptized, but we're not just called to baptize. The Great Commission is going to baptize and make disciples, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's part of making disciples.
Yeah, I mean, we just keep building from there. So building from that is the three new life groups, because if these people are being discipled, we want to see people in community together, and we need more groups to do that. Mm-hmm. And new life groups typically reach new people. You guys have experienced that in the life group you were willing to lead. And we just recognize, because of the needs on Sunday morning and because space limitation, those groups cannot be on Sunday morning anymore. So we are not adding Sunday morning groups anymore. Now, there may be some exception to that with senior adults or something like that, but we are not planning to add any more Sunday morning life groups.
So
we want to see
new life groups. They would be on
Wednesday night
or Sunday night, during the week. Okay. We just have to, we're kind of at a place, and we'll talk about this a little bit more next week with the capital campaign and the need for space, but we really are on Sunday mornings maxed out space-wise in terms of our life group rooms. Right. And a huge piece of this is because on Sunday mornings, our student ministry is actually over capacity in the student area for life groups. So already we have one student life group that's not meeting in the student area on Sunday mornings. They're meeting in an adult classroom. We anticipate continued growth in student ministry, which means probably a few more of those groups are going to have to move out of the student ministry space on Sunday mornings into adult classrooms. The classrooms are already full of the 9:30 hour, and then there's only a few spots at 11, and we've got to put students probably in those spaces. Right. So just other times. So Wednesdays, we just this year, back in January, started a new life group on Wednesday nights. And what you said, primarily almost everybody who connected in that group, new to the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just what we find. I mean, that's not just us. That's other churches find that as well, too, when they launch groups. Mm-hmm. So we need new groups, but we need people to be willing to not meet on Sunday mornings, which impacts the next goal is our need for weekly volunteers. You know, we have a goal of 234. That number's, you know, calculated through ratios and classes and who's leading in worship and life groups, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But you know, several years ago, we really began to emphasize that in order for us to be healthy as a church, we need every member worshiping an hour, growing an hour, together in community, and serving an hour.
I should have rehearsed that.
Yeah, that's right. Just boom, like boom, boom. We're doing our hands in motion. I talk with my hands. Yeah, so,
me too.
And I think that's what we've got. If we want to be healthy, we've got to do that. And that requires everybody pitching in, doing their part, you know? And so we really need people to consider how they can carry their load. And what I guess we're not asking for people who are already carrying, in many cases, more than their fair share to take
we
on.
We don't want that. Right.
We really don't want. And oftentimes it is those people who are super committed, who just say, okay, there's a need, I'll do it.
Something else.
I mean, that's, you know, maybe a piece of why we're in ministry, you know. Yeah. That's, you know, let's dig down deep. But I think we just, I could do more. But really, we got to say no. Like, because we also want people to have margin to engage their neighbors
right,
and their coworkers, and you can't do that if you're serving, you know, 10 hours a week in a ministry, you know.
Most people can't, yeah.
That's right. True. You yeah. can.
No, no, not me.
I mean, you can. No, you Boggy Talk listeners can. People can, but it's right. just we have to help.
Depends on their season.
Well, and it helps people have ownership too, yeah. you know, and if you're the personality that you want to do everything, you're taking that from somebody else mm-hmm. too, and they might not yep. even know that, you know, there's a need
yes,
that
right.
needs to be filled there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I would really say flowing from all that is the generosity of God's people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do, as we plan for the future and growth and raising money to not to be able to expand our facilities, but without taking on a debt that is burdensome, we need to raise a lot of cash. And so in addition to giving towards missions and ministry and all that, and we don't want that to slow down. Mm-hmm. We don't want to shift
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
We have set a goal of $5 million in giving in the year, which is a pretty significant increase from mm-hmm. 2024. So we're hoping that that will help us to launch a capital campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just I'll let him talk about the missions piece there. But we also recognize that we're going to have to come up with a lot of strategies over the next few years to accommodate growth if we continue to grow. So yeah. one of two things is going to happen because we don't have space. Either we're going to grow and not have space and have to figure things out, or yeah. we're going to hit a ceiling of growth. We trust the Lord and all that, but we yeah. need to have a plan mm-hmm. for
right.
growth.
Yeah.
We don't want to turn people away
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, you right. know. Now, if they choose to go to other smaller churches or other churches, mm-hmm. because yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Like, we're not upset. Yeah. Like, we trust yeah. the Lord. Mm-hmm. But if they want to be here, they believe the Lord's leading them here, we want to have space for them.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we got to figure out
what yeah, to do. Yeah, I mean, we and people ask, have you thought about this? Yeah, we're thinking about everything, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
we're trying to at least. And, you know, whether that means concurrent services and different, you know, we talked about different group times and having to shift spaces and shared yeah. spaces. And it just mm-hmm. means that we as a church are going to have to be far more comfortable with being fluid than our Western comforts mm-hmm. want to stay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we're just going to have to be super flexible and, you know, ultimately, I mean, not to be heavy-handed, but then you're like, all right, and there's people meeting, you know, in persecution, so
seriously.
I think we can
yeah.
suck it up. You know,
yes,
like, I mean,
sure.
oh,
okay.
no, I may have to go to overflow. Like, I get it. No one wants to be in overflow, but also, like, our we have air conditioning.
We need to serve coffee. We need to serve coffee at overflow.
Yeah, that's what would draw people.
There
I'm
you
serious.
Go.
You
okay.
only get coffee
you
if
are,
you go to overflow.
You are the executive pastor of ministry and missions.
I like that.
Yes.
You can make that happen.
Unfortunately, I don't have a secret pot of money to, but we can. We can work on that. I mean, that could be
the
some
secret pot of money
incentivized things,
Steve
right?
has it
that's
somewhere.
Right.
He'll be here next week. Yeah, but I just letting you hit those last
yeah.
two goals. I mean, we want to.
New missionary partnerships.
Yeah, stay focused
and,
on missions.
Yeah, and we want to see $900,000 go to missions. And I think, you know, we recognize, hey, we're in a position where over the past few years, we've made very intentional efforts to make the current missionary partnerships, and I say not just global missionary partnerships, but our new church planting partnerships, meaningful. Not that they don't appreciate the dollars that get sent, and that's meaningful to the ministries, but we've also tried to make them meaningful in terms of the relationships that we have, the support we're offering them. And that we are, you know, going and serving alongside. And so now that I feel like we really do have those healthy, we're at a place where we can explore new things. You know, mm-hmm. we commissioned a couple from our church, the Jeffersons, to North Africa. And so we've started talking about what does it look like to partner with you guys long term as they are there, have getting more fluent in the language, and would have more time to have, you know, more strategy.
The Jeffersons moved on up to the east side.
They did.
Has no one ever
the
put
east
that
side
together?
Of North Africa.
No.
That's right. So there and others. And so
I
we're
don't think
exploring
they're on
those.
The east side.
No.
Okay.
They're yeah. in the
but
north.
They're on the east side of the continent.
There you
globe.
They are.
The globe.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Where's the
mm-hmm.
The we're the prime meridian.
Yeah.
I don't.
They're not in the Western Hemisphere.
No, they are
not in the Western Hemisphere.
They are. Yeah.
Prime
so,
meridian. Wow, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The not equator.
Good job.
The
not
equator.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So back to missions.
Yeah, and so we just want to see more of that happen. You know, mm-hmm. I think we've. You know, I'll take Uganda for example. Because we're doing child sponsorships, we're doing the meals, we're sending teams. We've helped support a new ministry for Godfrey, Laura's husband, reaching some street children or not teenagers, I should say, not children. That's great and that's fruitful. And so now I want to say, what else can we do in the next place? You know, we've seen a lot of fruit in India and the pastors we're supporting there. So what's next? How do we help this happen? Mm-hmm. So
Laura loves God so much she even had to marry a guy named Godfrey. People right. said to me one time, they're like, oh, so you love Christ so much you have to marry a Christie.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah. There you go. That's funny. Yeah.
That is funny.
You married a Christie, too.
I did, so, too. And I Christina, you know, like a little teeny Christ, you know.
So, yeah. You know.
That's yeah. right. Look at us. Wow.
Oh, wow. Chris. Wow. I didn't even realize that.
That's
oh, my
funny.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That is funny.
Coincidence. Well,
here we are, the pagans.
Yeah, any takeaways from Vision Night for you? I know you weren't presenting. You obviously,
I mean, you've been
you
have been
Kelly
a church member for, you know, help, time, and now you've been on staff.
You,
yeah.
Kelly.
For,
you
know.
And Emily helped design everything.
Yes. I mean, I love that there's intentionality in it, you know, looking in the past, looking towards the future, and just because it's everyone that's involved in it, mm-hmm. too. And so I think that's great to just have that shared mission and vision with everyone, and to get to celebrate all those things and then say, these are our strengths, these are our weaknesses, this is where we want to move forward, you know, with the Lord and His Spirit leading us and, you know, blessing us through it all. So it's very exciting, and mm-hmm. more to come next week. We will be talking about Capital Campaign.
Yes.
We're going to have the next few weeks some special guests.
Yeah,
over,
this will be exciting yeah. few weeks ahead on Boggy Talk.
Yeah, so some new faces and a lot of new information coming
yeah.
our way.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
well, speaking yeah. of new information,
oh.
I have a game for you guys.
Wait. We didn't plan this.
Yeah, here
did
we go.
Did I miss an email?
I think
so,
I did read
so
that he
we're
was
okay.
Four, okay, all right.
So
I was about to end it, but
oh,
this
man.
Is this is Bayshore Trivia. I have 10 questions,
no.
okay? And we'll see how much you two leadership staff
oh,
members.
Great.
Executive Pastor Justin Wyatt.
I have a feeling I'm going to
go. Well, he remembers Prime Meridian, so we already know where this
I have
is
a feeling
go.
I'm going to
how
have
much
to,
do you love your church?
I'm going to have to go back and read
so
our vision
gonna,
document,
oh
our history document
score.
After this.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Are we buzzing in?
So,
are we chiming
so,
in?
No, you guys, we'll alternate who goes first, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so Justin's going to go first the first time. So you can copy his answer if you want, right? You get it. Okay. Anyway, here we go. You guys both get the answer.
Okay.
Okay.
But you alternate who goes first. All right. So
okay.
what year
so.
Was this church founded? Is it A, 1900, B, 1910, C, 1925, or D, the church is actually not incorporated still?
Actually, this church was founded the moment Jesus said to Peter.
I was
going to
do that. I was going to do that.
1910.
Okay. Kelly, do
That's
you
what
know
I was
the answer?
Say.
You guys are both right. It was 1910.
Yeah, good job,
okay.
Kelly.
I did know that one. I wasn't just copying your answer.
Church is 115 years old.
Woo, yum.
Okay. The first pastor was Dan Anderson. First paid pastor was Dan Anderson. What was his salary?
Oh, boy.
Until like 1978, it was published, like the pastor's
oh, yeah.
salaries.
Wow.
So you obviously can find that out if you go meet with our administrator, but we don't put it, you know, everybody's, all of our staff member salaries in the printed budget. But okay.
1910?
Was it $10 a month, $100 a month, $500 a month, or $1,000 a month?
Or E, treasures in heaven.
Well, both things. The benefit, it doesn't pay that well, but the benefits are out of this world.
That's right.
I don't know.
Kelly, yes.
Is this 1910?
This was 1910,
okay.
Yeah. Around there. 10, 100, 500, 1,000.
A month?
Yeah.
I feel like it's 10. But
$10 a month?
I'm going with $10 a
You're
month.
Both going
That's 10? My answer. I'm locked in.
You're both right. It
All
was
right.
$10 a month. Okay.
Wow.
Woo. 1910, Woo. Man.
Okay. In what year did the church become First Baptist
Ooh,
Church of Niceville?
Tricky, tricky.
Was it A, 1915, B, 1920, C, 1943, or D, 1965? Justin has to answer first.
Oh, I'm going with either, it's either 43 or 65, I think. And so I'm going to go with 65.
65, okay.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. In what year did this church become First Baptist Church of Niceville
oh, okay,
as opposed to Damascus Baptist Church at Boggy
gotcha.
Bayou? Because that was its original name.
Okay.
Was it 1915, 1920, 1943, or 1965?
43.
Okay. So you think it was Damascus Road Baptist or Damascus Baptist Church for 33 years. And you think it was for 55 years.
Yeah, because when did Niceville become Niceville? It was Boggy Bayou, like, Yeah, that's why I'm always 65.
I think it was early 1900s. But the answer was 1943. So Kelly Brown got that right.
I was going with post-World War II.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Oh, well.
All right.
Good job.
What? This is a good one. What is the longest tenure that a pastor has had here? So senior pastor, not associate pastor, because Dennis Brown was here for 29 years before he passed away. But the longest tenured senior pastor was either A, 10 years, B, 14 years, C, 20 years, or D, 33 years. Kelly, you have to answer first. 33 years.
Mm-hmm. I know Pastor Mike was here 10 years, but I think there was one person here longer, so I'm going with 14.
Justin is right. It was only 14 years.
That's crazy. Isn't that crazy?
115 years. The longest
That's wild,
Reverend Joe Hagler.
Yeah.
From 1978 to 1992, he was here for 14 years.
And that's who our, like, the gym was originally named for.
The Hagler Center.
Hagler Center, back when you named buildings for people. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was still alive when they named that building after him. But so I'm halfway there. Already. I am living on a prayer as well.
That's right.
So anyway, yeah. Oh, man. So yeah, God's grace. Yeah. Anyway. So number five, in what year was our current sanctuary built? Was it? Kelly has to go first, right?
Oh, I have to go first. No, yeah. I thought I
No, Justin to. Has to no. go first. Oh, so
I know this one.
Was it A, 1955, B, 1975, C, 1985, or D, 1995?
85.
That's so the sanctuary is the same age as Kelly, right? Weren't you 85?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed to say that on public radio.
It's okay.
Okay. Christy Ross was also born at 85. So you think the sanctuary is the same age as Kelly.
It's
what about you?
Over the hill yet. I think it's the one right before.
75?
Yeah.
What looks older, the building or Kelly?
Thanks.
We know the answer to that one. It's
definitely
the building.
I mean, the building.
Has it been refurbished?
It's the building.
Multiple.
Yeah,
okay.
Multiple times. Yeah. So,
but you go
with 1975?
Maybe. That's probably wrong.
Okay. But, final answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Justin was right. It's 1985.
Okay. 85. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after five rounds, by the way, that sanctuary is 40 years old.
That's crazy.
Same size sanctuary. Yeah.
Wow.
So Justin Wyatt has 4 points. Kelly Brown has 3 points.
Yeah, there's pictures.
We're halfway through.
Pictures of that place with the green carpet and the purple carpet. And
Okay.
Interesting.
We have
choices of the time.
Five more questions.
Okay.
We all know the internet was developed in the late 80s, early 90s.
So we do know the internet.
What was the first year that this church had a website?
Oh, boy.
Was it 1992, 1995? 1999 or 2012? This is Kelly.
2012.
Isn't that far fetched? Isn't that far fetched?
Wait, you said 95 or 99?
92, 95, 99, or 2012?
I mean, 99 seems kind of late, but then it doesn't. I'll go 99.
99, okay.
Okay, I do know this, that Mel Nagel, a church member, built that website, and he actually won a national award for it because it was so early when like websites weren't really a thing. So I'm going to go with 92.
Yeah, your story, I don't deny, but sounds odd because it was 1999.
What?
Okay.
Yes. Oh, so Kelly,
really?
You got that right.
Yeah.
Oh, 99. Is that late? But yeah, he won an award. Like won
what
a,
award?
I don't know.
I
ask
believe
Mel.
You. Okay.
I'll call him and ask him. He won an award for it. The church won an award for their website in 1999.
Speaking of awards, in the same year that this artist won a Dove Award, they performed here at First Baptist Church of Niceville in 1981.
Wow.
Was it A, Sandy Patty, B, Bill Gaither, C, New Song, or D, The Boones?
I don't even know who the Boones are.
Pat Boone? That's Pat Boone.
It's your turn. You have to go.
Oh, I'm going with the Boones because I feel like if Sandy Patty had sung here, I would know about that.
And
I'm going to go with the Boones because that seems they're kind of a country-ish Southern gospel.
I've never even heard of them.
It's my guess.
You said the Gaithers?
Yeah.
Or who's the
I'll go
one?
Again. Gospel artist, won a Dove Award in 1981, and also had a concert at First Baptist Church of Niceville that year. Was it Sandy Patty, Bill Gaither, New Song, or the Boones, like Justin said.
New Song has been around that long, I think.
Yeah.
They're still cranking it.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't really know. You had a good reasoning.
So you're going with the Boones also?
Sure.
Okay. I had never heard of the Boones until this. Neither had First Baptist Church of Niceville because it was not the Boones.
Oh, no.
New Song did start in 1981. It was Sandy Patty.
No. Oh, I had my gosh. Sandy Patty sang in this, not in this building, not in our sanctuary.
First Baptist Church of Niceville.
Man, I feel like that is something. I could sing you almost all her songs.
All right. So
Justin just got really excited.
Three more questions.
Do you know Passion also was here?
I do know Passion was here back in the day on the Road to One Day kind of a tour. Yep.
In Niceville, not at First Baptist.
No, at this church.
No, at this church.
They had
like Road to One Day, like mm-hmm. when they were doing a big tour to like build up to One Day that they had.
Oh, yeah. See, the history document I was looking at only went to 2010. So
okay.
That was like 2000. That was like 1999.
I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It happened.
It was all green in there. I just remember that.
Who was the band then? Because that was pre-Tomlin, right?
It was like the Passion Band. It was a bunch of them who were some
you know the green
still...
disc. Remember
mm-hmm.
the Road to One Day.
It was about that.
Pre me being serious. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they just had a tour.
I remember Wow. That's what I call
a Wow Worship.
Now
yeah. Wow. That's now Wow. Wow Worship was the thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Number Man, eight.
I still can't get over Sandy.
Who
Patty
is?
Thing.
Yeah.
These are recent questions.
Okay.
Number eight. Who is our longest tenured staff member? Is it A. Brenda Cook? B. Charlotte Smith, C. Ward Van Steenburg, or D. Michael Van Zandt.
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Ward.
Brenda Cook.
She's been on what? Staff that long?
Brenda Cook. 15th anniversary was my first day.
Oh, so she. Okay. I thought she was staff later. I know Ward is one
years.
Week more than Charlotte.
Yeah, that's they're both like 16 years? Or 17 years.
Brenda?
Yeah, or maybe 18 years. They're a few
sorry,
years.
Sorry, Brenda.
Brenda.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Brenda,
you're
yes.
the best.
She has the most job security of anyone
yeah.
on
does.
Our staff. She puts out so many fires for
she
us.
She sure does and gives us so many gentle reminders.
Yeah, no,
and
does. That's correct.
Great.
She's okay. so kind.
All right. Our church has been recognized this previous year as a top CP giving church. Were we recognized in our state for being in the top 100 churches? So that means how much money we give the cooperative program for missions mm-hmm. to Southern Baptist. Top 50 churches, top 20 churches, or top 10 churches?
Is this percentage or this is
amount.
Dollar amount?
Amount.
Okay.
Top 100, top Ooh. 50, top 20, or top 10?
I should know this. Scrolling through the booklet they give us at the convention.
Okay. I don't think it's in there.
Yeah. We're top 20.
Top 20?
Top 10.
Top 10? Top 20. Top 20. We are one of only right. two churches not in a city that is in the top 20.
Mm. Oh.
But you got that, right, Justin?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to get this, Kelly.
All right. Okay. No pressure.
All right.
All right. Should I say Sandy Patty?
You ready?
That's right. You should have gone with Sandy Patty.
Okay. So you both know that Michael Van Zandt taught math, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do know that.
Okay. Well, so did one of our other staff members. They taught math in school.
What?
Was it Steve Renna? Me? Taylor Palmer? Or Jacob Ball?
Jacob.
I'm going with Jacob, but I'm also going to put an asterisk by this because there's actually two staff members who taught math. E. Justin Wyatt.
Well,
so,
you don't care.
Besides Beth you. Taught math too?
No, she wasn't a choice.
Okay. You taught math in Korea? Done. That doesn't count.
No.
Oh, okay.
Because they already know it. Why? What do you mean? No, when I moved back from Korea for a year, I taught high school before I started seminary.
I didn't realize it was math.
You taught high school.
I taught choir, drama, and algebra because it was a brand new high school. And
oh,
they just
wow.
They were like, pick your choice. You have to teach physical science, algebra,
wow,
or
three
something
people
else.
Have taught math.
Mm. Yeah.
You
I'm
said
going,
Jacob. Yeah.
I'm going with Jacob simply because I know he's taught before.
But are you doing that
but Taylor,
just because you don't want Kelly to win?
No, because Taylor could have.
Who did you think it was?
Me.
She but weren't a choice.
I know.
There.
That's why
okay.
I was like, oh, this is.
It was Jacob.
Jacob. It was
okay.
Jacob.
He's
Jacob.
The most fitting person. Yeah. Not that other people couldn't. I just
you
would
have thought he would talk like literature because he's into like nerdy
he
books.
He is
and philosophy. Things like that.
He's a philosophy guy.
Yeah,
history.
He is. So Justin America. Won 6-5. He's also been on
okay.
staff a lot longer
yeah,
than
so
you.
Yeah, so it's fair true. Enough. I mean,
so
I
technically,
actually,
you won.
Technically, comparative to the amount of time we've been on staff, you did much better than I
well,
did.
Well, good.
And Kelly and our sanctuary are both celebrating milestone birthdays.
Yes, we are. We are.
Now everybody knows that, Kelly. Sorry.
Anyways, well, we hope you guys enjoyed that. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. Yep.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.